1 Timothy 2 instructs us to pray for those who are in authority over us. In America, we not only have the right to pray, but also the right and responsibility to vote. How do you know which candidates will uphold biblical values, though? FloridaVotesValues.com now has local voter guides available in several counties. Visit FloridaVotesValues.com to learn where the candidates stand on life, liberty, marriage, sex ed, transgender bathrooms, taxes, the Second Amendment, and more. Again, that's FloridaVotesValues.com.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Long.
Tuesday, August 18th is the primary election in Florida. And although this election will not determine who will be in office in some cases, in other cases it will. In some cases, there are school board races throughout the state, or city council races, or county commission races, or even Florida House or Florida Senate, where there are only primary candidates. And the election will actually determine who will be in office. Even in those cases where it won't, this is still a very important election, and it's a very important part of the election process. It's important for Christians to be involved in politics. We need to make sure that we are doing our part to make sure that righteous men are in authority. Righteous men and women are those who are appointed as civil magistrates. We're going to look in the Bible and explore this, and also just really cry out to God that God would raise up civil magistrates, righteous civil magistrates, to deliver us. I would encourage you to go to FloridaVotesValues.com. That's FloridaVotesValues.com. You'll see local voter guides as well as other resources that can help you, including the iVoter Guide voter guide that covers the federal and state election process. Proverbs 14, verse 34 says, "Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." Proverbs 28:12 says, "When the righteous rejoice, there is great glory, but when the wicked arise, men hide themselves." And then Proverbs 29:2 says, "When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when a wicked man rules, the people groan." So we need to really pray that God would raise up righteous men to rule over us, but also, and to be an authority over us. But we need to make sure also that we are doing our part, that we're studying what the Bible says should be the characteristics of someone who is running for office. By the way, we have preached 4 sermons on that topic, and you can view those at our church website, covenanttabernacle.com. or our church Facebook page, Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. Psalm 33, verses 12 through 19 says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. No king is saved by the multitude of an army. A mighty man is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a vain hope for safety, neither shall it deliver any by its great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine." So here we see that our trust should not be in the power and the might of the U.S. Army or the Marines or the Air Force or the Navy. That's not where victory comes from. Victory comes from God. And definitely, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't have a strong military or that we shouldn't engage in protecting and defending America, or that the soldiers don't play any role. But if a nation has departed from God's precepts, as we're going to see later, that nation is going to receive the judgments of God instead of his blessings. John Adams, second president of the United States, and really someone who probably, without John Adams, probably we wouldn't have a country. He was one that was really instrumental in getting the various sides together to draft and to sign the Declaration of Independence. That was the first document that actually started the process of independence for the United States. He said this: "We electors have an important constitutional power placed in our hands. We have a check upon two branches of the legislature. The power, I mean, of electing at stated periods each branch. It becomes necessary to every citizen, then, to be in some degree a statesman, and to examine and judge for himself of the tendencies of political principles and measures. Let us examine, then, with a sober and manly and a Christian spirit. Let us neglect all party loyalty and avert to facts. Let us believe no man to be infallible or impeccable in government, any more than in religion. Take no man's word against evidence, nor implicitly adopt the sentiments of others who may be deceived themselves or may be interested in deceiving us." Samuel Adams said this: "Let each citizen remember at the moment he is offering his vote that he is not making a present or a compliment to please an individual, or at least that he ought not to do so, but that he is executing one of the most solemn trusts in human society, for which he is accountable to God and his country." It is very important that we know what the Bible says about government, that we study where the candidates stand on issues, and that we vote according to biblical values for the candidate that best represents those principles. And again, using the voter guides at FloridaVotesValues.com can be very helpful in determining that. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 2, "Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made to all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence." And here we see that we are to pray for those who are in authority. In America, thankfully, we not only have the right to pray for those who are in authority, we also have the right to actually vote. We have the right to run for office ourselves. We have the right to take part in the political process. And it is incumbent upon us, it is very important that we take that responsibility seriously. As we do, we need to also realize that God is sovereign in elections. Daniel talks quite a bit about this, and we can see this in Daniel chapter 2, verse 21. "And he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding." So God is the one that removes kings and raises up kings. Daniel chapter 4, verse 17 says this, "This decision is by decree of the watchers, and the sentence by the word of the holy ones, in order that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, gives it to whomever he will, and sets over it the lowest of men." Now, this was the prophecy that would actually of what would happen to King Nebuchadnezzar. But notice here that God rules, that the Most High rules in the kingdoms of men, that God gives it to whomever he wills, and that he sets over at the lowest of men. Now, if the President of the United States, and I know that there are many people who love our current president, and many people who despise him, but if he were to come in to a group of people, most people would honor him. And we look at those who were in authority, who were civil magistrates, and we look upon them as highly esteemed and someone that is elevated, and certainly they have an elevated position. But realize that God sets from the lowest of men, he raises up those to be civil magistrates. In Daniel chapter 4, verses 29 through 36, we see what happened when Nebuchadnezzar became prideful. At the end of 12 months, he was walking about the royal palace of Babylon. And the king spoke, saying, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty?" So he didn't heed the words of Daniel, and that we read earlier in this passage. He was someone who was haughty. He was lifted up. "It's not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my power and for the honor of my majesty." While the words were still in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven, "King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you, and they shall drive you out from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make you eat grass like oxen, and seven times shall pass over you until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses." At that very hour, the word was fulfilled concerning Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men and ate grass like oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hair had grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. And at the end of that time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. All that the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can restrain his hand or say to him, "You, what have you done?" At the same time, my reasoning returned to me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and splendor returned to me. My counselors and nobles resorted to me. I was restored to my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added to me. This is really a remarkable passage of Scripture, and one that I'm sure that people with every ideological leaning probably have someone or several people that you would like for this to happen to that are serving in government today. For God to to send them out into the field for seven times, which could be 7 years, to actually eat grass, have their hair grow out, have their nails grow out, to be like a beast of the field, until they realize that God is the one that raised them up. Thankfully, in America, we have elections where we can actually send them packing. But only if we go out and vote, only if we're registered, only if we know what the Bible says about biblical principles, about what qualities someone in office should have, only if we know where the candidates stand on the issues, if we've educated ourselves in that, and only if we actually vote according to biblical values. When the children of Israel were coming into the promised land, God warned them, and we read this and studied this last week from Deuteronomy chapter 8, against becoming fat and well-fed. You see, there's a pattern, and we see this in the book of Judges, where the children of Israel would obey God, and God would give them blessings. But in that blessings, they would have rest, and they would become complacent. They would then, at some point, go toward disobedience. And then the next part of the pattern would be to bondage, that because of their disobedience, that God would raise up a ruler to rule over them, to oppress them. Then they would at some point repent of their sins and ask God to forgive them. They would cry out almost like the prodigal son looking up from the ashes. They would cry out for God to deliver them. And God would, in actuality, deliver them. And then we see, we actually can see this passage, this principle, starting in Judges chapter 2, beginning in verse 10. When all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, this is the generation that inhabited the Canaan land. When all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord, nor the work which the Lord had done for Israel. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals, and they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt, and they followed other gods from among the gods of the people who were around them, and they bowed down to them, and they provoked the Lord to anger. They forsook the Lord and served Baal and the Asherahs. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. So he delivered them into the hands of plunderers who despoiled them. He sold them into the hands of their enemies all around, so that they could no longer stand before their enemies. Whenever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for calamity, as the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn to them, and they were greatly distressed. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges who delivered them out of the hand of those who plundered them. Yet they would not listen to their judges, but they played the harlot with other gods and bowed down to them. They quickly turned from the way which their fathers walked. In obeying the commandments of the Lord, they did not do so. And when the Lord raised up judges for them, the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For the Lord was moved with pity by their groaning because of those who oppressed them and harassed them. And it came to pass when the judge was dead that they reverted and behaved more corruptly than their fathers by following other gods to serve them and bow down to them. They did not cease from their own doings nor from their stubborn way. Then the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he said, because this nation has transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and has not heeded my voice, I will no longer drive out before them all the nations which Joshua left when he died, so that through them I may test Israel, whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk in them as their fathers kept them or not. Therefore, the Lord left the nations without driving them out immediately, nor did he deliver them into the hand of Joshua. And here we see a very sad passage of Scripture. You see, God had commanded that generation that inhabited the land, that possessed the land, he commanded them to teach their children the commandments of God. But somehow, either they didn't do that, or they weren't diligent enough in doing that, or the children were rebellious and didn't listen, because the generation of their children, when they were the ones in charge, they actually forsook God. They served Baal. They served Ashtaroth. Now, these were the gods of the land, the gods of the people of Canaan, that God was driving out, that God drove out so that they could possess the land, so that they could inherit the land. God was driving them out because of their sin. And one of the things that was a part of this worship was there was a lot of sexual perversion that was a part of the worship of Baal and Ashtaroth, and also giving your sons and your daughters to demons and sacrificing children. What do we see happening in America today? We see really a generation rising up that doesn't know God, a generation where, you know, one of the things I make it a habit of doing is to tell people, God bless you, when I'm checking out at the cash register or whatnot. You wouldn't believe how few people actually acknowledge that. Most of them just ignore it because they don't believe in God. Or perhaps maybe they've been told that they can't discuss God at work. And we have sexual perversion rampant in our country today. And we are giving our sons and our daughters to demons through abortion, shedding innocent blood. The blood of over 66 million preborn children actually cries to the ground for vengeance. We see that the children of Israel actually going and actually committing these sins, and God raising up oppressors to rule over them. And this is what happens if we won't serve God, if we won't honor Him, if we won't keep His commandments, then God will raise up, as God was for us in the past. And we just sang the song today about and really comes from Numbers chapter 6, God being for us and blessing us, going before us, going helping us, and being there for us and for our children and their children and their children for 1,000 generations. Yet when we forsake God, when we violate His commandments, the promise is very different. As God was for us when we were obeying Him, He is against us when we disobey Him. As God is for us when we keep His commandments and His precepts and helps us to defeat our enemies, as He helped the revolutionary army that was undermanned, that didn't have the powerful weapons that the British army had, that didn't have the training that the British army had. In fact, many times they didn't even have boots to wear. They were trudging through the snow with blankets over their feet, with their feet bleeding, leaving tracks of blood in the snow. Yet God gave that group of men the victory because America was turning to God. We need to turn to God today, and we need to realize that God is the one that is God is the one that raises up people to rule over us. And if we are wicked, God will raise up oppressors to rule over us. However, if we humble ourselves and we pray, we seek His face, we turn from our wicked ways, we seek the God of heaven, then He will hear from heaven. He will forgive our sins and heal our land, as the Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. When I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locust to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. And this is what we need to do today. We need to fall on our faces before God and ask God to forgive us for violating His commandments, for violating His precepts, for forsaking Him. Turn back to Him, amend our ways. And part of that is studying what He says about government, studying where the candidates stand, and voting according to biblical principles. Again, the website is FloridaVotesValues.com, where you can get the voter guides to actually educate yourself on these issues. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
First Timothy 2 instructs us to pray for those who are in authority over us. In America, we not only have the right to pray, but also the right and responsibility to vote. How do you know which candidates will uphold biblical values, though? FloridaVotesValues.com now has local voter guides available in several counties. Visit FloridaVotesValues.com to learn where the candidates stand on life, liberty, marriage, sex ed, transgender bathrooms, taxes, the Second Amendment, and more. Again, that's FloridaVotesValues.com.
But those trophies could not equal to the grace by which I stand.
In Christ alone, I place my trust.